Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Startup Sales. Very excited for today's episode. We have Sammy Ekmark here. He is the founder of CommuApp, which is an app where people could go to help each other, find help, get help, give help. It's really interesting. He's got 50,000 users, if I remember right. So we're going to hear about his journey on growing to 50,000 users and also what his business model is and kind of the mistakes he's made along the way. So let's get to it.
Welcome to the Startup Sales Podcast, where we dive into the world of sales and marketing. Join us as we interview founders and industry experts, uncovering their successes and failures in the market. Get valuable insights and learn from their experiences to boost your own sales strategies. And now, a word from this episode's sponsor. Are you tired of struggling to reach your sales targets? We believe in you get what you pay for. That's why you pay only for the leads you get. Introducing Startup Sales, the leading growth hacking agency that guarantees meetings with your prospects. With our proven strategies, we'll bring you between 15 to 30 qualified prospects every month. And here's the best part. It's risk-free. You only pay us upon success. Don't let your competitors get ahead. Let Startup Sales supercharge your sales pipeline today. Visit us at startupsales.io. Startup Sales, your ultimate growth hacking partner.
Sammy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for asking. And nice to be here.
Yeah. I'm really excited to kind of hear about your growth. If I remember right, I think you said that there's about 50,000 users that you have. So can you give people a little bit of background about who you are and what your company does?
Yes, I start about telling who I am. So my name is Sami Ekmark. I come from Tampere, Finland. And my personal background before Commu is that I'm actually a nurse. I worked in mental health sector. So what I learned about sales is through CommuApp, and I don't have this like school of business back in me. That's an interesting part about me is that I have two identical brothers, so I'm triplet, and that's funny. And Commu, more about Commu. Commu is 2021 summer. We released the app where people can ask help, give help, and until that moment, from where we are now, we have 50,000 users, but in Commu there's also non-profits finding volunteers, because these people who download Commu, they want to do something meaningful, be part of like a positive change, and for non-profits it's good place to be visible. And also companies and company employees can do volunteering through our solution, and companies get data for social sustainability reporting on that. So that's basically what we are doing.
That's really nice. Can you explain a little bit about what kind of help people could give and receive?
In the end of the day, like all kind of help, but the most common is like neighborhood help, like finding the friend just to talk, to go to walk, example, or then the food aid, asking for food aid is quite unfortunately popular right now. We have Ukrainian language, and Ukrainians who have, example, come to Finland have asked to help clothes, and Finnish people have helped them. So and animals are always like popular. People want to take care of animals. This comes first to my mind.
That's really nice. All right. So how did you get from zero to 50,000 users? That's quite an accomplishment on its own.
Yes, it is. We get there by first of all, we have been a lot of speaking what we're doing, and the local newspapers know have like in last year in Finland we have approximately like 60-70 newspaper releases about Commu. So there we get a lot of like visibility. Also our users, they tell when they help, they want to tell it forward in Instagram, in Facebook, and we get new users by on that. So, and my other co-founder Carolina is very good marketing, doing marketing. So
what kind of marketing?
What
kind of marketing is she doing?
Instagram, Facebook, basic LinkedIn, TikTok, this like very basic stuff. Sharing user stories is very popular for us. Okay. And yeah, contacting the local newspapers is one big thing what we do. When there is like users in some area, we contact the newspapers and are they interested about user stories in that area.
So what's your business model?
Business model is that companies give the employees possibility to do volunteering through our app. And when they give that possibility, for employees, it's easy to do volunteering and we help them to find these places to do it. But company gets data when they do that. Example, they do a volunteering, company gets data which they can show in their social sustainability report that they do volunteering in their social sustainability activity. That's one business model. Of course, nonprofits are another one that they can find new volunteers and like activate and handle current ones. And then third, we sell for municipalities that they can offer our solution for the people living in that municipality area and municipality get data from that what's happening in the area and they use that data for different purposes.
Okay. And let's say that on the business level, how like you charge them money to be part of it, but then it gives them access to the system for their employees to volunteer.
Yes and no, because everybody can download Kommu for free, but the most common cases for companies to volunteering is that they want to go somewhere together, and these places are quite hard to find in Kommu map. So we help companies to find these places for the employees go together, and we know how this process goes, that how to activate these employees to do volunteering. So we there is a lot of like in expert work from our side, how we help them and their system on it.
Okay. And so what has been your experience as far as selling the platform in this sense?
Of course, to be totally honest, I need to say that there is a lot what we have learned, because in Finland, nobody does that company. Nobody have done before us that company go do volunteering and someone help them to do that. There is like in United States, there is company doing that. There in Holland, there is company doing that. But there, it's not so popular yet. So there is a lot of the things we like have to figure out by ourselves and through failing. And then when we fail, we try to learn as much as we can. And then we are a little bit closer to succeeding. But yeah, it's has been lot of failing, but when we grow through the learning, we are every day a little bit closer to the huge success.
So let's talk about those failings.
Okay.
What have been some of the biggest failures that you guys have made in terms of sales that you could teach and learn from?
I think the biggest let's say what I've learned the most. I learned the most that you need to like talk to customers. Like before you do anything, you build technology. Just talk to customers and understand very clearly what they want, what they wish, and then build the technology. That is what I understand now very clearly, and also that I actually we expect when we offer a Kommu for companies that they go, they do volunteering by themselves. But that was wrong because we see that many company employees didn't in first of all, they didn't do volunteering by themselves because they wanted to do in group because nobody has done volunteer before. And we sell that, okay, come to Kommu and we build your this company account and you can do volunteering, but nobody does it. And then we realized that, okay, there is some problem on that. And then we learned that, okay, in most common cases, they do it in, they start doing it by together. That was actually quite big mistake for us at the beginning when we start selling this for companies.
So I there's two things here that I learned. So first of all, start selling your product before you may even have a product. Yes. See if it's something that people want and see if it's something yes. people buy.
Yes.
And then the second part was, hey, you part of your sales process was to get the employees to start volunteering so that you could show the value of the data to the companies.
Yes.
But
yes.
then they weren't volunteering, as you said, because they were needed to be part of a group. So I think that's a really good insight. But my question is how did you learn that insight that they weren't volunteering and that they wanted to be part of a group?
That's we learned by doing, because nobody, this is the data we haven't get access or we didn't find it. So when we have companies, we try the different things and we learned that this works, this is not working. So that we learned.
But I mean, did you have client meetings set up or did you set up meetings with some of the employees that didn't
yes,
volunteer?
We have clients and we try to think with them that how we get like culture, how the helping can be a culture, how the volunteering can be a like company culture. And then we understand that company gives time for employees to volunteering, that, hey, you have two days a year to do volunteering and just go and do it. The most of the employees didn't do it because they're a little bit scared of like what to do, where to go, when I go, how I need to be there. And that we learned. And yeah, do I answer your question?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, you did. All right. And so it's really good. I think the key takeaway there is to talk to your customers or users, even if they're not using it. You know, those are sometimes the best to learn from.
Yeah.
Rather than the ones that are using it, and learn and ask good questions on why and how, so that you can make improvements. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And what are some of the challenges you think that you're facing now currently, as far as growing the sales?
I think the biggest challenge for us is because we are not in product market fit yet as a company, so the biggest thing, what challenge or biggest learning to next is that how we, I think we are quite close to it, but how we do the same process again and again, and the same results come after and after time. And I think that's the situation where we are right now, that finding this best possible process that we can like do it all time again, and it affects the same kind of good results. And that's the thing what we want to learn like right now.
So what are your plans to make sure that each person goes through the right formula of sales and the right process?
If we speak about the start of the funnel, using same message and getting these same kind of meetings, and then having same kind of like, okay, because what we are selling is the companies want to do it differently. It's very like, it's every time not working in the same way. So we need to be a little bit expert and change that what the company wants, what they give the employees, but like learn these different ways to offer volunteering and find these different answers for these different ways to offer volunteering, what we can offer for companies, and seeing that enough, like 9 times of 10 or 8 times of 10, they are working in same way. I think that's where we are right now.
Okay. One thing that I've seen a lot is, you know, especially because, as you said, it is important to kind of have a general workflow for the sales process, that generally that's the direction you want to go and you want to maintain that. Now, obviously, as you said, most companies are the same, but every once in a while you're going to come across a company that's a little bit different.
Yes.
So what I found is like the best way to manage for your salespeople or for even yourself is not to have like a script, but to have like a framework. Like, okay, the first call, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to have the small talk. Then we're going to understand the problem that they are facing as it pertains to what I could help them with, which is, okay, what are you doing to help your employees, you know, volunteer and be more socially wow, what's the word? Socially helpful. That's awful English. Yeah. Anyways, and then okay, now I'm going to explain in one sentence what I do, and then I'm going to ask some more questions about what problems they're having with getting this off the road and what it means to them as a company. And then, okay, let's discuss next steps, whether that's a trial or a demo or getting a particular group of your team to sign up and volunteer together. And so that's like the first call. Then the second call, like, okay, do we have an onboarding process for this trial? Like this group of people that are going to test and volunteer together as a trial, do I have like an organized way for them to do it? Like, here's a PDF. First do step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to have a meeting. Then we're going to do next step 1, 2, and 3, and then another meeting, and then that's it. So I think this is the best way to kind of add that structure, as you were saying, is actually have it written down, have it completed so that you could see it and you could visualize it, but it's not so concrete that it's like a script that you have to read word for word.
Yes, yes. And of course, there is like some companies who already are doing, like who already are offering volunteering for the employees. Then are companies who are willing to test that, is this something they want to do? And then there is companies who do some kind of like volunteer days once or two times a year. So there is like different situations in different companies, and finding each of these the clear process, because the same process is not working all of these companies, and they have different values and like different kind of volunteering what they want to offer, and like setting up these all of things in the big like what is the word, I don't know English,
and then you and I both
but you understand, like that's where we like want to be next is like getting this whole big picture and offering everybody what they like want very clearly, and understanding the needs of every of these like customer groups very well.
I've found that many times, you know, when you're kind of going about this and you're in this particular stage, you know, I've helped many founders in this stage, that they start going through this, but then you hear one negative feedback from one person. Or one deal falls apart from this in this one particular part, and then make the assumption that, oh, okay, this is not working, so we got to change it. But what I found is if you actually go and measure it, whether it's in a CRM or even on an Excel file, and you measure the steps and you measure where people are falling out, that it once you actually start measuring all this stuff, then you could actually see the real picture instead of making those assumptions.
Yes, yes. And that's, yeah. The measuring all these things is very important for us right now, and understanding like every phone call, what happens there, and then we can like watch the data after that, what's really happening there, understanding the big picture. Yes. Yeah. That's totally where we are right now.
Yeah. And that's tough, because sometimes you don't know what kind of data to be looking for, or what kind of data to be measuring.
Yes. And... Yes. So but that I know, that, yeah, but I know that we have developed a lot, and we know much more in this area than we know like 1 year ago. So I'm quite sure that when we like the learnings, I think like there is no like a succeeding and failure. There are succeeding and learning. And when we constantly learning, in some point, we are there where we want to be.
Yeah. I had a boss one time that told me about startups that the most important metric is your runway. How much runway do you have? Because with enough runway, you could accomplish anything. Because as long as you have enough money to keep going, you could keep learning, yeah, change, true. And keep moving forward. So
That's true.
Although money is hard to come by nowadays, so what can you do?
Yeah.
So with all this learning that you've come through, what would you say is the biggest thing that you've learned that you were really surprised about that for sales that other founders you think should know?
Really surprised about sales. I go now like a little bit my mental health worker background, that actually what I've learned related to sales is that if you can get the trust from other people, like gaining the trust is the most important thing when you're doing sales, to build a, like, trust between you and between the customer. And how to do that, and if you can do that, then you are really there where you, like, good salesmen are, is, I think that's the biggest learning, that how to build trust, knowing that.
So how do you build trust?
By being honest, being smiling, being humoristic. And it's, I would say that often people look like similarities. If other person is humoristic, then you are humoristic. If other person is like very straightforward, then you are straightforward. If other person play football, you can then explain that, hey, I play football also. These are the things with great trust, smile, great trust. Sometimes telling you weaknesses about that, our product weakness is this, it creates trust, because then the person know that you are not lying, because you're telling some shit thing about your product. Of course, what creates trust is that the other person have feeling that you know really what are you talking about. So if you only say about your weaknesses, then why should I buy from you, because you're telling me all the shit things about your product. I think all of these are important to be, yeah, in the end of the day, be who you are. But people are looking similarities when they're discussing. So if you can offer
be
them.
Be who you are, be honest, talk naturally. And I think part of the being honest part is also, you know, part of the whole point of sales is to understand if you could help the other person. So part of being honest is saying, hey, I don't think we could help you.
Yes.
Here's why. And that will build so much trust that even if you don't get the deal, maybe they'll know somebody else that they might bring to you.
Yes, I agree. And also being like, it's everywhere in life, being interested about other person also, not only about interested in your sales and can you make it. Also like if you can like talk some personal stuff also, or being like really, it cannot be fake. If you really are interested in another person, they see it. If you are not and you try to be, it's like awkward for them. So I think that's a big thing.
So when you go to hire salespeople, I'll tell you one of the tricks that I do.
Okay.
Because I think what you said right there is very true. And this is the number one thing, maybe honesty is the number one thing, but the second thing I look for in a salesperson is curiosity. So in the interview process, you know, I'll ask questions like just more in the conversation, like, hey, are you reading a book right now? Or I'll tell them about a book I'm reading and I'll ask if they're reading a book. Or I'll ask them, hey, what's the last thing you learned that you found really interesting? And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be about ants, or it could be, I had one guy explain to me about rocketry and how the rocket engines work. But the fact that he's learning, or this person on the other side that you're interviewing is learning, actively learning, and is a huge thing, because that curiosity, as you said, Sammy, is that it's so important to take interest in the other person and ask them questions about themselves and what they're doing. And that's how you build that rapport and close the deal.
I agree 100%. And if I need to make decision that do I hire people who already know stuff but are not interested in new things, or do I hire people who are interested about learning but didn't know anything? I would say like 100 times of 100 times, I will hire people who are ready to learn.
Yeah.
Because that's in life. Yeah.
Agreed. I mean, you might take a 1 or 2 month hit off the productivity, but long run, it's
yes. And about run. Team culture and everything.
There,
it's every time the people who are ready to learn and ready to develop.
And I think that goes not just in sales. I think that goes in every aspect. I mean, you want
every aspect. Yes. Yes. Yeah. In my mind, every aspect.
Yeah. Good. Sammy, I really appreciate you coming onto the show today and sharing your learnings and everything. Where can people reach out to you and learn more about CommuApp?
They can go our website, comwap.fi, or if you have something for me, just ask me from LinkedIn. You can connect and write me. So, or download Comwap. Download Comwap. That's probably the best option.
Download Comwap and start using it.
yes, that's the best option. I'm also there, and you can find me there. So
perfect, Sammy. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks for listening to Startup Sales with Adam Springer. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Contact Adam about speaking engagements or consulting services at adam@startupsales.io.